Well, years ago, we talked to Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here. And then, Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Okay, so get that on. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Cutie.
Where were you going? Who were you going with?
It's me, Ali.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to I Left My Wallet. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, also known as Thomas Santel, the Retro Grappler. And I want to thank you for tuning in today for a very fun conversation about hip-hop, New York sports, and AEW with Max Caster. Now, Max is one half of the Acclaimed in AEW, along with Anthony Bowens. And it's been a pretty meteoric rise for Max from doing independence to being on a worldwide platform these last few months and getting a title shot against the Young Bucks on Dynamite. I remember Max a little over a year ago when I first saw him at Beyond Wrestling, where I was doing the Thomas Santel character persona, and which I still do, by the way. I get a lot of people asking me, hey, where have you been and whatnot. I will be back, and I am still active, so don't worry. But that's where I first saw Max, and great look, great persona. I think he was hurt at the time, so he couldn't wrestle. And then I saw him on a few Beyond shows this past summer. And then now, there he is at the top of the AEW tag division, getting a title shot, him and Anthony, at the Young Bucks. And I wanted to get him on the show, because this is a show mostly about sports. But we also talk hip-hop, action figures, whole bunch of other things. And Max's dad was a NFL tight end in the 70s, early 80s, Rich Caster. Three-time Pro Bowler, and really, if you go back and look at statistics for tight ends back in the 60s, in the 70s, early 80s, they weren't putting up numbers like a Travis Kelce or a Gronk or even a Shannon Sharp going back 20, 25 years ago. So Max's dad, Rich, was a damn good tight end, one of the best of the 70s. And we're going to talk about growing up, the son of an NFL player. And we're going to talk a whole lot of hip-hop, a deep dive into some hip-hop. We both love underground hip-hop. And that's why I wanted Max on the show. Because when you see someone with a hip-hop gimmick or a rapping gimmick persona, you want to think and relate them directly to John Cena. But as Max is going to tell you, this is not a gimmick. This is who he is. And I'm going to play some snippets throughout this show of some of his songs, which are on his Shook Crew YouTube page. But, you know, he's just so talented. He's only going to get better in the ring. And really, you know, once he gains that experience, this is a guy, him and Anthony, as the Acclaimed, they really have it all, really the total package, and they're a true team. And I'm really happy to see all of the success they're having. I'm really happy to see the success that Jim Valley is having. Jim, I say it almost every week, get well, recover, and you have. And I want to remind people, if you haven't gotten your King of Recovery t-shirt, at prowrestlingtees.com. Go get it. It says, I'm the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, you're doing that. Hopefully it gets you on this show when you're up and ready again. And we all love you, man. Keep that healthy arrow pointing upwards. All right, so here we go. I got Max Caster from AEW. AEW was very gracious in accommodating this chat and this talk, so I want to thank them. And I want to thank Max Caster for a great conversation. Here he is. I hope you enjoy.
I'm going to Hollywood. Oh, yeah, I got them shook. I think they think I'm famous. Oh, yeah, they shot a look. I'm going to Hollywood. Oh, yeah, I got it good. My name is Platinum Max.
Promoters. All right, so, Max, when I first saw you in Beyond Wrestling last year, end of 2019, and the vibe I got from you with the starter hats, the starter style hat, the starter style jacket, the thick chain, just the flow of your delivery, brought me right back to late '80s, early '90s, East Coast hip hop and my days of being in middle school and watching Yo MTV Raps. So, right away, I mean, the show is called Left My Wallet. So right away, you struck a chord with me, you know, with a hip hop persona, hip hop character. But that's not a character. That's really you. So how did tell the listeners here at The Observer how your hip hop persona in real life and how your wrestling kind of merged together?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for saying it's not a character. It's not a gimmick. I get really upset when people call it that because it's not. This is exactly what I would be doing if I wasn't a professional wrestler, if I wasn't on TV or in front of crowds. I would still be rapping and I would still be trying to bother people. Those are my two loves in life, aside from wrestling, is trolling people and making music.
And you know, people get confused MC and rapper. A rapper is like tag team, whoomp, there it is. Or, you know, but an MC, you give that classic, you know, MC vibe that you know, I think of Rakim, I think of CL Smooth, guys like that, that I, you know, when I was a kid, you know, an MC controls the crowd. An MC is not just writing words that rhyme together. You know, it relates, just you control the crowd just like in wrestling. And I just want to give you props on that because, you know, it you do it coming down to the ring and then you do it in the ring. So MC and rappers is two different things, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I've heard that distinction made before. I've never ever done a live concert, just straight up music, so that I'll take that as a huge compliment, because I really do put a lot of thought into exactly what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it to allow a reaction to happen. Because if I walked up there and I just started rapping my hardest, and a lot of people have problems with this where they say, oh, this rap wasn't good, or he's a bad rapper, or whatever. And I, you know, there's a time and place for everything. And when I'm speaking to a non-music audience, especially one that's on TV and they're trying to capture everything I'm doing, I'm probably not going to throw out the most technical rhyme of all time. But
yeah,
just trying to think back, MCs as opposed to rappers, I would say like KRS-One would be a guy that I listened to a lot when I was a kid. Just like finding his greatest hits CD in the CD store by my house. And I was just like, oh man, I'll check out KRS-One. 'Cause he probably had a song on like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater or something.
Were you a Boogie Down Productions fan, or were you later with like, Outta Here and Love's Gonna Get You was BDP, but were you like a Boogie Down Productions fan, or more of a KRS-One solo guy?
I think it was a little of both because it was just his greatest hits. Sometimes at practice when I'm running classic Creative Pro, I'll throw on BDP and that it's just like the perfect music. I'll throw on KRS-One greatest hits or BDP, and it just gets everyone going. I feel like some people don't like it, but I love it.
Be good.
Just to go back to how it started and merged from music to wrestling, just being a hip hop fan and just kind of checking out wrestling sites as well. I saw one post of John Cena did a music video with Murs, who's an underground rapper from LA. And I was like, oh, dude, let me check out this music video with John Cena. And I'm like, oh, this is a great song. So I go to the CD store by my house. There we go. We have the Murs album right there.
Was that with Bad Man on it?
Yeah.
Because that's my
favorite.
The
ninth edition.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. One of my favorite albums of all time. And I've destroyed that CD the amount of times I listened to it. Up to the point now where Murs follows me on Twitter and Instagram, which is like, I tried to tell him, like, man, this means so much to me. I'm sure he hears that all the time, but it really means so much to me. And it was cool. He said he saw the video we did on the Young Bucks, the diss track. So I'm like,
Buck Hunt.
He watched the Buck Hunt video. I'm like, wow, one of my favorite rappers of all time, one of my biggest influences, is like giving me props for this music video we did for a wrestling show. Like that's unreal. So long story short, from there, it kind of just stemmed into searching what other Murs songs there were. You find his work with Atmosphere, and it kind of just bloomed from there. There's a huge love of indie rap throughout all of high school for me.
And who were some of the, you're speaking to me here, and my love's growing up in high school as well, because, you know, I used to listen to all the college stations growing up in the Northeast. College radio was big because a lot of the, you know, the local channels in Springfield, you know, that's where I first heard Wu-Tang. Then later, as I got into college and hearing the channels in UMass, that's where I first heard of 7L and Esoteric and MF Doom, MF Grimm, all the you know, just kind of, if you know underground hip hop, if you know hip hop, you know, going to undergroundhiphop.com and buying those mixtape, you know, where you know, I first heard Royce 5'9" and all. It could go on. I could go on forever. So you're speaking to me with that. Who I mentioned some of my favorites, you know, Czar to this day, 7L and Esoteric, Czarface, you know, with Inspector Deck, all that stuff. Who were some of your favorites, underground or mainstream, that helped kind of shape your style and your delivery?
So Atmosphere is my favorite group of all time. I'm big into Sad Boy stuff, and you know, that hit me right at the right time. End of high school, start of college, when you're like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? Of course you need some Sad Boy music. So Atmosphere was big for me. Murs is big for me. Little Brother, I think one of the best groups of all time. I think Fonte is arguably like up there for best lyricist of all time. If you're into that, the guys like MF Doom, I only really started listening with intent after he died recently. And that's been really cool to just try and sit there and break it down. Aesop Rock, huge influence. I love the None Shall Pass album. That's one that I really wore out. And then like getting into mainstream, Kanye West has always been different than everybody else to me.
Man, people forget College Dropout. That's one of the, you talked about playing, you know, wearing out a CD. College Dropout was one of those where I just, you never fast forwarded a song. It was like 36 Chambers for me, or The Chronic, you know, where it's just like every song is you can't fast forward it. And people forget because, you know, Kanye, whatever, people can say what you want. The guy's a fantastic lyricist. The guy was a producer and a DJ for Jay-Z before that. So even without the solo career, the guy is, he's ridiculously talented.
It's so good. And especially stuff recently with him where people just kind of write him off and they call him crazy. Like even the Jesus is King album, I thought going through it a few times, at first it's like, oh, wow, okay, it's a little much. But going through it a few times and trying to pick out whatever message he's saying, like it's all good stuff. And so I think he gets a bad rap now, and a lot of people forget about exactly what he did and how he changed everything. My favorite album from him is Graduation, and that was a real eye-opener from however he started with the soul samples into the orchestral stuff on Late Registration. Mm-hmm. Then you go full pop arrangements on Graduation, and it's still hip-hop. That kind of told me, okay, well, this guy really, really knows what he's doing. This guy is the only one who's different. And if you trace these albums and their impact on the rest of hip hop, you see it. After College Dropout, here's all the soul samples. After Graduation, here's all the pop rappers. After 808 and Heartbreaks, here's all the Drake rappers, you know, on and on. So that, I think, is the guy who has really grandfathered all of this stuff that you hear now. And he doesn't get the credit that he deserves anymore because people like to call him out online.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think of, some of the Buffalo scene with like Benny the Butcher, Griselda, West Side Gun? It kind of gives me the, early RZA vibe where it's kind of dark and it's very, you know, that early Wu-Tang kind of, it's gritty, it's grimy. What do you think about, you know, going from Kanye where it's very kind of maybe flashy, very entertaining, to something grittier, you know, Benny the Butcher, Griselda, guys like that?
I gave Benny's album a listen or two, and it's not exactly my style, but I do acknowledge the vibe that they've resurrected in hip-hop. It's a crew of guys where you see crews pop up every now and then. You had Odd Future, you have Brockhampton, and now it's like, okay, here's Griselda, and here's something totally different from the tangent that broke off with like Odd Future. Odd Future was a bunch of like skate punk kids. Here's a bunch of guys from the streets again, and they're putting out that message. So I like them. It's not something that I go to every day, but I do know they're big wrestling fans, so I will always support them if they want my support.
Do Andy and Pepper, do they have any kind of connection, like with Andy being from, those guys being from Buffalo and Andy being on the music scene, have they, do you know of any connection there?
No, I talked to Daniel Garcia a little bit on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where he posted the Benny the Butcher album. That's how I listened to it.
Okay.
And I go, I'll check this out. Why don't you listen to the 21 Savage album that just came out? And I don't know what he thought of it. I don't think it's his style. Just like Benny the Butcher isn't exactly my style, but hopefully he listened to it and you know, we learned some new things.
Yeah. And you, let's talk about the YouTube channel, the Shook Crew channel. Where it has just like, I went in and listened to some of, I listened to one of your Freestyle Fridays with Danny Doring, Owes Me Dinner was one of the tracks in there. You've got this
true story.
Oh yeah. Well, let's get into that. But I want to, just for the listeners here, you got diss tracks for Alley Cat, Sean Spears, Josh Briggs. That's where the Buck Hunt video is. But I listened to the Freestyle Friday, and it was You probably had, I don't know, four or five different beats, and just the go to Shook Crew on YouTube, and that was one that really echoed with me, because just your flow, the synonyms, the metaphors you used, phenomenal. It took me back to one of the reasons why I love hip hop, what got me into it. And it's awesome. But the Danny Doering owes me dinner. What is the story here? Because I just had Matt Cardona on, and he was talking about when he first started, he was scared to death to work with Danny Doering. And Danny is like, he thought he was going to beat him up or take liberties on him. Danny is one of the nicest guys. He's so light in the ring. It's how does he owe you dinner?
It was after a WrestlePro show, and he's like, "Oh, you're heading home. Where do you go?" I'm like, "Oh, I live on Long Island." He's like, "Oof, the Belt Parkway. You won't be there in under an hour." And I said, "I bet I will. Like, it's pretty late." So that was the bet. He said I couldn't get home from New Jersey to Long Island in under an hour, and I did it in, I think, like 55 minutes.
Wow.
So I sent him the screenshot, and then he actually did pay up, and he gave me a nice Visa gift card for me to use whenever I want. So he is a man of his word. He was actually real nice about it. He surprised me with that. I didn't think he would actually pay up, but Danny Doering, let's put it on the record. He's a man of his word.
Awesome. This is a sports show as well. We talk sports. It's very well known. Jim Ross puts it over on commentary. Your dad, Rich Caster, was a tight end in the NFL, a three-time Pro Bowler. His playing career ended in 1982 with the Super Bowl champion Redskins beat the Dolphins in that year. You were born quite a ways later. What did you know that your dad was like one of the best tight ends of the 70s? The guy was a three-time All-Pro in an era where, tight ends didn't have Travis Kelce's, you didn't have Gronkowski's, who were the centerpiece of the offense. How much did you know of your father with his, you being born much later than his playing career when it ended?
I knew a lot. I would say there's not a lot of footage of when he played. He maybe has under 10 game films of him playing right now. But it's something that I was always aware of. His jerseys are in the house. They're always cool to look at. I used to wear a couple of them to middle school, which I thought was cool. I would wear the Pro Bowl jersey, actually. and this is like the era where big jerseys are cool. So
yeah
it really kind of fit in. But we knew. And I played football in high school. My brother was a really, really good football player. He played through college as a wide receiver, and he put a lot of effort into that. I unfortunately didn't put a lot of effort into my football career. So whenever anybody asked me, I say, yes, I played quarterback, but I was the backup and I was not that good. Because I really feel like I need to say that, because people are very impressed by me being a quarterback. But I thank him. I thanked him on Freestyle Fridays for my genetics. I think that's the most important thing he's ever given to me, because not everybody has that. Yeah. Not everybody has NFL level genetics.
Yeah.
But I am aware. I was always aware of his stats. I was always aware of his style of play, how they would put him in the slot, send him up the seam, and he was catching long passes. He was really the first guy, like you
from
said.
From Joe Namath.
From Joe Namath, yeah. he was the first guy, as you say, or one of them, who is playing tight end at 6'5", 230 pounds, very long, very fast.
Yeah.
So he was hard to defend. And so I didn't get his height exactly. I'm a pretty tall guy, but that tall.
Yeah. 6'2".
I'm not 6'5". I'm about 6'2", but yeah. I'm not 6'5". I'm 230 pounds. So I think I carry the legacy well at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, growing up in New York, being from New York, I'm guessing you live and die with New York sports when it comes to your fandom.
Yeah. So, we're a Jets family.
Yeah.
More dying than living with the Jets. of course, a few years ago, before I started working in sports radio, I was a really, really big Yankees and Knicks fan as well. So I would really live and die by those teams. I still contend that Carmelo Anthony ruined the Knicks.
A lot of people will say that, because when they got him, they add him to Amari Stoudemire. It seems like it's all, they're doing great this year. You know, Julius Randle's almost putting up a triple double each game, but yeah, it's been pretty bleak since Carmelo first got there, those first couple years.
Yeah, it was a real big hit to my fandom, actually. that to me was it was almost like being a wrestling fan, where you sit and you're hoping that your favorites win, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes it just hits you the wrong way. It lets you down. That one let me down, because I was like, wow, this is the real Knicks team. And then they were like, let's trade half of them away for this guy. And he came in and it wasn't that great. And I was like, man, okay. So I'm not really a fan of you guys anymore. You're going to keep doing that. But, you know, all of my fandom really went away when it became work. And I started working in sports radio at Sirius. And and so it was a lot of my time was spent just listening to games and being concerned about these sports. So I'm like, okay, now it's work. Yeah. That's kind of when I got back into being a wrestling fan a lot heavier, because we didn't do wrestling at Sirius.
You needed a break from all.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
It's like when these things become work, it's not the same. It's not as fun. But I loved working at Sirius, but it just kind of killed all my sports fandom. It moved me over to wrestling. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Wrestling's the sport that I need to follow right now, because it's just different than what I'm doing right now. And so that worked out, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's working out pretty well. So we can thank Sirius XM Radio for veering you to where you are now in pro wrestling. Last thing here on the Jets. You know, I had a couple Jets fans on during the season. Lenny Leonard, who's a great announcer, huge Jets fan. And this was when they had the first pick in the draft, and people didn't want them to win any games because the prize this year is Trevor Lawrence. Now they end up with the second pick. You know, they get Robert Saleh from the defensive coordinator from the 49ers, who are my team, going back to the 80s. Do you think, you know, they got a ton of draft picks coming up. I think they got two in the first round this year, and they've got like eight in the first four rounds. Do you think this is finally the time where they can maybe draft that franchise quarterback? It's not going to be Trevor Lawrence, but maybe like a Zach Wilson. And I don't know what you know about Robert Saleh, but do you see any optimism with the Jets these next few years?
So I don't know anything about the coach. All I know is I've heard rumors that Deshaun Watson would possibly sign with the Jets. Trade it to the Jets. And I would love to see that, if they can pull that off. Obviously that would probably take some draft picks, so you'd sacrifice that. But, you know, there's a guy who's proven it, and he has guys who would want to come with him, I'm sure. So I would say I would be most excited for that. But building through the draft hasn't really been the Jets' expertise. So it's hard for me to say, is it here?
Nor has signing free agents.
nothing's been their expertise.
Yeah.
They were winless all season, and then they go on like a little kind of winning streak at the end, and they bump themselves out of the first spot. Like that same old Jets stuff.
Yeah. As I said, I talked to many Jets fans, and it's before this year, it's always 6-10, 7-9, 8-8. Like, not good, but again, not bad enough to get a top draft pick. So they end up in the middle of the first round. The last couple of years, they get Mekhi Becton, and then they get the second pick this year. So for all the Jets fans out there, we're hopefully you get some good news coming in the future. I want to finish up with a little bit of wrestling here. And you mentioned being the trainer at Create a Pro. I know Brian, and all the talents that have come out of there, Bear Country, Chris, MJF, Smart Mark Sterling.
Smart Mark. Don't forget the Shook Crew.
The Shook Crew. Bobby Orlando.
And Bryce.
Bryce, what is it about this crop of talent the last 5 years? Obviously, Brian and Pat, phenomenal trainers, phenomenal workers. But what is it about this group of talent that has succeeded and made it to the highest level where you don't really see this too often? And even the highest level of training schools or training schools anywhere, what is it that stands out about this group that you've been a part of?
The one thing that's always been different about Create a Pro is that there's no drama.
Hmm.
So most wrestling schools or wrestling promotions, locker rooms, someone's always gossiping about somebody else. Somebody's always trying to cause some problems. They want to get higher on the card. They want to get a better spot. I don't know what people do. At Create a Pro, it's always just been show up, work. Any sort of drama that ever pops up has been kind of nipped in the butt. People have been kicked out because they became a problem. And it's like, well, would you rather have this person who's a problem, or would you rather just let them go and continue having a nice, safe, neutral environment in that sense? And that's what we've chosen. So a lot of people get caught up in wrestling, and they hold on to the little bit of power they have, especially on a local level, because not everybody thinks in a big picture sense. They say, okay, well, this is what I have. This is what I can control right now. So I'm going to be mean to these people. I'm going to, beat these kids up as they try and learn how to wrestle. I'm going to hurt them, or I'm going to make them feel horrible. It's never been like that. It's always just kind of been, we're all cool with each other. We're all friends, and no one's really trying to beat up the other person.
It's not like when I started in 2001 and there was, the grizzled old veterans that were just, grumpy and miserable. Start? Yeah. What's that?
Where did you start?
I started at Killer Kowalski's when he was in Malden, Mass, right north of Boston. And then I was training there. That was 2 hours away. And then there was a ring where Mark was training, my tag team partner in WWE, Surratt, all those guys were training, and it was like 15 minutes away. So I started going there, and then I just, Steve Bradley came to the area in New Hampshire. I started going there and just, but it all started at Kowalski's. So, and then Lance Storm, Dr. Tom, so it's, but that base, like that base and learning that the discipline and the just being a good person, in a hectic business is, was instilled in me, and it's the same that Brian and Pat have done with you guys and girls.
Yeah. And especially starting out, it was, a real big dichotomy between Brian and Pat, because Brian is very chill, and you know, he's very pragmatic, and things will happen and he'll say, okay, well, you know, we'll handle that. Yeah. Pat was like the guy who you were scared of, and you know, he would never like run over and beat you up, but it was just like the look on his face or the way he carried himself at that point where people were just like, oh my God, like it's a Pat day. Like be careful, be on your best behavior. So I think it was the combination of that. And that kind of is carried along as the classes go on and on, the years pass. And now we're just trying to, you know, build up the newer guys and get them to be the best wrestlers they can. And I feel really bad for them right now because there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
And just trying to make the TV show that we do for YouTube and IWTV, it's their only thing right now, really. And I'm trying to make it as good as possible for those guys, sitting there and kind of supervising it and putting these shows together and trying to make something for these guys in a time where you can't really make much.
Yeah.
You know, I feel real lucky for myself, throughout the whole quarantine period where I'm still putting out viral videos, and then that turns into getting booked at Beyond, which turns into getting booked for Primetime Wrestling in Los Angeles, which turns into getting signed. So, yeah. You know, it was a real culmination of events for me, whereas other people aren't so lucky. And, you know, some indie guys and girls might be breaking down mentally right now because there's nothing much to do except the odd death match or two, which is, you know, that's got to be a tough bullet to bite when you have nothing else to do. It's like, well, I guess I'll get cut up with glass and barbed wire. So I'm trying to make sure that my guys at Creative Pro don't end up in a situation where they go off the deep end or have to do anything dangerous. It's like, look, there's no fans. If you're doing this in front of no people or 50 people, like, you know, what's the point? Let's wait. Let's do something that's actually productive right now for you guys. You know, I love my deathmatch guys, but we don't really breed deathmatch guys at Creative Pro. So.
Yeah. 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 And
there you go.
And you went out and you made things happen. And that's one thing there's, and you know, from Creative Pro and all the stuff that goes in behind the scenes, and now at AEW, it's more than just the in-ring stuff. It's so much more. And I think, you know, when I referenced Mark to go, I think in 2013 to go to Brian and Pat, you know, he became, look what he's become just outside of the ring, you know, whether it's cutting promos, doing the video work, doing, organizing the birthday parties at the school, doing all that stuff. Just like him getting himself out there, you did the same thing. And, you know, Merce is seeing your videos, you know, people are seeing your videos and your rise from when I saw you, in 2019 at the end there for Beyond to now has been, it's been meteoric. I mean, it's, you go from doing the Beyond shows, which are one of the, you know, top indie promotions in the company. But then you're a year later, you're getting a PhD in wrestling, being in there with the Bucks, with Frankie and Daniels. What has that? That's a pretty steep learning curve. And you and Anthony hung in there. Like you guys did phenomenal. What has that learning curve been like, being in there with guys like that, you know, at such a young age and point in your career?
It's pretty intimidating, to be honest, especially guys like Daniels and Kazarian. Those are guys that we all watched growing up. Mm. And being in the ring and, you know, it's just another day at work, but then you kind of step back and you're like, this is the fallen angel, Christopher Daniels. This is Frankie Kazarian. Like this is insane. And you know, doing that match was just a little bit intimidating, and we pulled it out, and then the next week it's like, oh, and this has earned you a shot in the main event against the Young Bucks on a special Dynamite at that.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, oh my God, it's almost like, what did we get ourselves into? But you know, I always talk to Anthony, and I say, you know, we're two of the best singles wrestlers coming into this. And even though we're not the most knowledgeable about being a tag team, we still are two great singles wrestlers, and we can always put that together. So I think that's how we've been hanging with these guys. And you know, the young Bucks are they're really great wrestlers. I think they get a lot of unnecessary hate. And if you ever get to see these guys up close, like, you will
I've worked with them, and I've never got a chance to work with Frankie or Chris, but yeah, I've worked with the Bucks, and you know, anyone that hates on them is just, you need to change your mindset, you know?
Yeah. And wrestling on, you know, watching it on TV and seeing it live is totally different, because seeing it live, you will feel the energy, and it's completely different. And I've been watching wrestling up close ever since I've signed to AEW, and I see all these guys, I'm like, man, everybody is so good. And it's just the energy that you feel. And I really encourage people, if you can, come down to Jacksonville and check out the AEW show. That's where we're going to be for the foreseeable future.
Daly's Place.
Come to Daly's Place. It's a really nice venue. It's nice.
It's like an amphitheater, open air.
And you'll get snowed on if Sting shows up. It's really cool. And or you know, just wait till it comes back, or you know, check out an indie show if an indie is running near you. You will feel the power of wrestling, and I think that's what people sitting on their couches, and look, I was one of those guys at one point, that's what people sitting on their couches miss when they watch a wrestling match or they watch a wrestling show. It's like, there is energy, there is something palpable to this. It's not just watching it on TV and saying, oh, well, this guy sucks or this guy doesn't. Nah, everybody's great. It's just, you need to feel it.
Yeah. And you struck a chord with me there, talking about, oh, we're here, and oh, wow, it's like almost like, what have we gotten ourselves into? That was the same thing when my partner in WWE and myself got called up, because we were 2-3 years in at the most, and it's like, oh my God, there's Ric Flair and Triple H and Kurt Angle, and it's like, what have we got ourselves into? But at the same time, like, you can't teach experience, but you can always be prepared. And you know, you guys were prepared, and I love the finish of the SCU match, because you guys, whether it's that finish, whether it's coming out to interrupt, you know, an in-ring segment, you guys get heat, and your heels are supposed to get heat. And I love it. I love it. Just, it's one of the most simple aspects of wrestling, and you guys get it. Last thing here, Arn Anderson's there. Tully Blanchard is there. You got so many great tag teams. You know, we used to go at house shows, just go to the ring with Arn and just walk through stuff. And like, Arn, what did you and Tully do in this situation? Show us some things, manipulating the ref and you know, just the secrets, the intricacies. Who are some of the tag teams you and Anthony watch, you know, currently? And some of the tag teams from the past that you guys take inspiration from.
So I think the best tag team, or definitely the most underrated, is the Kings of Wrestling from ROH. Chris Hero and Claudio. They remind me of the situation that me and Anthony are in, as two guys who were singles wrestlers brought together. And I'm not sure of their whole backstory, but that's the thing I thought of when they were like, okay, well, you guys are a tag team now. It's like, okay, well, who can we relate to? You know, we can't relate to the Hardys because they've known each other their whole life. You can't really relate to the Hart Foundation because they were family. You know, so I'm like, okay, who can we relate to? Who do I love in wrestling? It's like Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. And I just go back and I try and see any match that I can of theirs, and the way they move and the way they just attack people. They're two technical masters.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and Anthony are very similar to that. I don't know if I'm as good of a master as Chris Hero. He's a smart guy, but
yeah.
If there was a comparison I would make, it would be to that tag team, and that's who I would want to pattern myself after.
Awesome. You got some new acclaimed t-shirts that are out. You've got the YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram. Where can listeners here at the Wrestling Observer get those new acclaimed t-shirts and follow you and AEW on social media?
Yeah, check out shopaew.com. The new acclaimed t-shirt is out. It's our very first shirt, and I am very excited about it. As an admitted t-shirt fanatic, a t-shirt freak, I have way, way too many t-shirts in my house. This is just another one to add to the pile, but it's a very, very special one for me. And it's an awesome design. I think everybody's going to love it. So check out the acclaimed t-shirt on Shop AEW. My social media, I want to say social media was a mistake and I don't love having it, but you can find me at Caster Show because my life is a show, on Twitter and Instagram. So you can check it out there. We have the acclaimed mixtape coming out very, very soon to all streaming services. And we have our first single, our music video coming out soon. Not sure when this is dropping. Not sure when our music video is dropping. So soon. So I hope everybody enjoys that. You'll hear a lot about that on my social media and the AEW social media as well.
Freestyle Friday, Platinum, yo. I live the good life like an indoor pet. Trying not to get canceled like I'm Jim Cornette. But I'm missing all the freedom I once liked. Everybody knows the rules like one bite. Maybe I'm a 9-8, born in 8-9. Give me a felony, I be speaking from my mind. Wrestling is for everyone, being a wrestler ain't. Most people don't even make it to mental pain. I've been pushed to the edge like so much. We all a bunch of grown men about to go nuts. Boys hide that, talking all about Disney Plus, avoiding the problem, doing the Mighty Ducks over and over, do the thing where they don't speak, only tweet your hand on the chin emojis. Man, what do you really want? I wanna get famouser, like I was Billy Gunn. I'm trying to be happier and more positive. Yo, I'm trying to be open, and that's a lot of it. I'm the god in this, the holy bar spitter. All this dope in me like a bony arm stripper. It's Platinum Max, Freestyle Friday. Danny Doring owes me dinner. I didn't forget, yo. Danny Doring owes me dinner, and I'm so ready. You could bring yourself, you could bring Chris Chetty. I be eating red sauce with the spaghetti. I be eating lean chicken with the steamed veggies. I'ma hit the sushi bar like a movie star. I'ma run the tab up where the smoothies are. You could spend a little more for the shrimp scamp. I mean, you were the XPW TV champ. Danny Doring owes me dinner, and you know it's real. You could bring yourself, you could bring Roadkill. You could bring Pub Bully, that's Craig Steele. Get a couple strippers, I'ma have a cheat meal. Open up a credit card, cause I'm so hungry. I'ma eat it all till you got no money. I'ma eat all night, eat all day, then drive home, no traffic on the parkway. ECW original, I know you got money. You owe me dinner. It's Freestyle Friday, I'm Platinum Max and I look so sexy. Yo, I be that platinum playboy, I'm back in the place, boy. Shooting on everyone, no cat in the face, boy. My rapping, it makes noise, and some stay silent. Nowadays, you gotta tell them if you got talent in the ring. I'm the best, that's point blank. Outside the perimeter, where boys yank, and I made more change than Toy Banks. I could have been cool, said thanks, but no thanks. You could call me Hot Dog,
baby, I'm so frank. Been suicidal so long, I don't know pain. All my happiness getting blocked like old flames. The world stay pissing on me, but it got no aim, so I'm dodging it. The girls stay hollering, squirt like a condiment. You can see me with the black and silver like a Popovich. People hear platinum and still try boxing it. My Friday ratings don't go down like Fox's did. Platinum Max, Freestyle Friday, let's get it. Yo, crutches in my hand cause I got my knee fixed up. I won't be in the ring for like 6 months. And I'm looking at my target like a big plus. Try to fill my voids, I'm in a big rush. Always said if I was hurt, I would watch a show. Maybe The Wire, Breaking Bad, or Game of Thrones. So I'm open to everything that y'all suggest. Anything to take my mind off impending death. Man, it's hard to get around when you can't walk. With this brace on, I can't get my pants off. When my leg is locked up, it'll cramp, dog. I got this love in my life, but it's hands off. Gotta slow down, gotta cure my depression. With my sedentary life, that's a wise selection. Looking into everything but prescription drugs. So if you see me at a show, you can give a hug. I wanna do something new with my time now. Every day I'm thinking that I'm gonna die now. And my time is almost up on this rap song. All this uncertainty, but I'm still platinum. Yo, it's Platinum Max. It's Freestyle Friday. It's almost Christmas, so I'm like, what's under my tree? What's stuffed in the stock? Think it's everything I need, but it's stuck in a box. I don't need cars or weed or a couple of thoughts. If it's from you, I take a couple of socks. Yo, I have a little problem with the self-esteem, and it's taking its toll on my health, it seems. I just wish your love was enough to fix it, but you're the only thing that I want this Christmas. I robbed Santa so I could get your wish list. I got one heart, but you want them in the millions. I wish I had the money to get you something normal, but stop looking at me weird like this ain't adorable. When all else fails, got nothing else. Try to warm your pretty soul so your snow can melt. Still in love with the season, the ice and the freezing, just to see your breath when you breathe it. Whew.